Our study this morning is out of Psalm 48, 1 to 14, praising God for his future assurances via his past deliverances. It's fitting for God's people to praise him for delivering them, but such deliverances imply future assurances. Psalm 48 provides a great lesson on this matter that timelessly applies to all generations of God's people. So we view it for our insight, our application, and our edification. Like to look to God in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we're so grateful this morning for the privilege that you give us to fellowship around the word. We thank you for the indwelling spirit of God, who is our teacher, the one who runs alongside to be a help. And we ask, Father, for wisdom as we get into the passage, first of all, to understand it, and then to apply it, and with the power and the wisdom and direction of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we'll read it from the King's English, and then we'll look at it from the translation of the Hebrew. A song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled, they passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hastened away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord, and the hosts in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell the towers, or count the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation to come. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Okay, verse 1 in the Hebrew text, of course, comprises the introductory remarks in the English Bible, so we stay with a verse numbering arrangement of the English Bible for clarity with our lesson. And so we translate Psalm 48, 1 to 14 as follows. Great is Yahweh, and much or exceedingly, me'od is the Hebrew word, much exceedingly to be praised. And it's in the pu'al stem, which is intensive passive. He is to be praised extensively. In the city of our Elohim, his holy mountain. Verse 2, it is beautiful in its height, the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion is the sides of the north. Now, the sides of the north is an expression in pagan literature that indicates the abode of the gods. So the psalmist describes Mount Zion as the true God's dwelling. This is one of those many places where the psalmist refers to something out of pagan lore, but he applies it to God in the sense of truth versus the pagan lore. So Mount Zion is the abode of God. So the psalmist describes that Mount Zion as that God, the city of the great king. Elohim is in her citadels, or fortified dwellings, Armon. He has shown himself to be her high tower of refuge, or miskab. For behold, when the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astonished. They fled in terror. Trembling seized upon them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of Yahweh of hosts, in the city of our Elohim. Elohim, it's an emphatic pronoun, or an emphatic noun, it's in front of the verb, firmly establishes her forever, Selah. And then within your temple, O Elohim, we consider or we think of your loyal love, chesed. We translate that grace today, but it's loyal love in the Old Testament. Like your name, O Elohim, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. The right hand, incidentally, is the right hand of ability. So that's the right hand of God's greatest power. If you can envision that, it's filled with righteousness. Verse 11, Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad on account of your judicial verdicts. Mishpat is the word for judgment, but Mishpat doesn't have the negative connotation that we have with the word judgment today. It's actually a verdict, and it could be a negative verdict, it could be a positive verdict. So your judicial verdicts caused the people of Judah and the villages of Judah to be glad. Verse 12, walk about Zion and go around about her, count her towers. Consider well her ramparts, that would be her protective barriers, and view her citadels or fortified dwellings, that's the name Armon again, in order that you may tell of them to the next generation. Because this Elohim is our Elohim forever and ever. He, emphatic pronoun, once again the pronouns written in front of the verb, he will guide, conduct us along until death. So we've got some significant observations and applications of this psalm that edify believers today. First of all, this psalm rejoices in God's victory for Jerusalem over foreign attackers. Now, it's interesting that the psalmist does not describe who these foreign attackers are. Some scholars like to think that this was the time when God protected Judah from the invasion of Sennacherib, when the angel of the Lord slew 185,000 soldiers overnight, did it supernaturally and to protect them. Some believe that it might be some other attack. We're not told the specifics, so I don't like to go into an area of guessing when I don't know what it is. But apparently there was attack of some sort, and God thwarted the attack. The psalmist's appreciation of God's loyal love to his people, verse 9, evidenced in this deliverance and his sustained preservation of the city with its familiar and important landmarks, signals God's continued commitment to preserve and guide the nation all during the lives of its inhabitants. It's very interesting, if God has helped his people in a specific realm under certain circumstances in the past, that's a signal that if those circumstances occur, if those threats occur in the future, God intends to do that again. He doesn't just stop halfway. God always completes his work. If he starts to salvage us in one particular situation before, he's going to do this again, unless he makes it clear that he's not going to do that. So it's interesting, God is a God who is consistent, and he loves to work in regards to precedence. If he's done something in the past for us, that is basis for what he's going to do in the present and in the future and on and on and on. Unless, if he changes his mind or if he changes his directive, he makes it very, very clear. But he wants us to count on his precedence. He wants us to remember the precedence, remember the past, and then move forward based upon that. And then number three, the precedent of God's recent rescue assures God's people that he will shepherd them and that he will help them for the rest of their lives so that they should praise him not only for his past help, but for his future deliverances. It's interesting, years ago, I was talking to an elderly missionary. She was getting ready to retire. And she said, I really don't know what's going to happen into my retirement. The provisions the Lord's provided for us and so forth. And the retirement seems uncertain at this point. I don't have a huge pension that people have built up and so forth. But she said, I know what God has done for me in the past. I see the way he has provided in times of tightness and so forth. And he's going to continue to provide for me in the future. It's very interesting what God did for this lady. She and her husband were able to get a house and build it on property. The property belonged to another man as a friend, a longtime friend that the husband of this wife had known for many years. And so they built their house there. But then all of a sudden, the man who owned the property said, you're going to have to sell me the house because I have a relative who needs to live in it and you need to go somewhere else. And the retired missionaries were stunned. But they had to go ahead and sell it, and they sold it. And they had to go down into a trailer house. And this was really upsetting to the woman. Well, shortly after that, her husband passed away. So she sold that trailer house, and then she moved in with some relatives, and the relatives took the money from her trailer house, combined it with their money, and they both bought a house and the house is 4,000 square foot area. It looked like a great big chateau. And so she spent the bulk of her last days in this beautiful situation. So it was amazing how the Lord provided for her. So it's interesting, when God helps us in the past, that's precedent for what he wants to do for us in the present and the future. So the psalmist praised God for his past deliverance of Jerusalem from Gentile foes based on his loyal love, drawing assurance from that event for his future preservation and guidance throughout his people's earthly lives. So if we've seen God recently deliver us from harmful foes, may we greatly praise the Lord, not only for that deliverance, but praise him for what that deliverance means for our future, drawing confidence from that precedent that based on his loyal love to us, his grace, he thus intends to continue to preserve and guide us relative to such similar trials we will face in the future for the duration of our lives on the earth. I was thinking of just a little incident that had happened here. I was recommended by someone who wanted to pave my driveway that I needed to remove my stone wall that was along the side of the driveway because the stone wall was pressing down and it was actually trapping water in the dirt. And that's bad if you want to pave on top of that. So I removed my rocks. And of course I had to build it up, build the dirt up, and then put grass in it. So earlier this spring I had a lot of grass seed out there. And then I started by watering, and it took, sometimes 30 minutes to 45 minutes to water to get, I wanted to keep the seed wet, you know. Well, we've had some rain. A week or so ago, we had about a week solid of rain, and then we've had some rain recently. So I haven't had to water, and the grass is doing great. It's just growing up. So even something as small as the grass in that area, the Lord just stepped in, and it didn't cut into study time or anything. I was able to do the work of the Lord. So it's amazing. God is very loyal to us, and he covers for us. He watches out for us so that we can continue to do his will. So if God has recently helped us in some area, and we're facing maybe a big issue in the future or concerning the issue, and it's similar to what's happened in the past, what God wants us to do is to draw hope from what he's done for us in the past, that just as he helped us there, he's going to help us in the future. Because it wouldn't make sense for God to have helped us in the past if he just wants to help us in the past and he doesn't want to do that anymore. It doesn't make sense. If God's helped us in the past, that's a foretaste of what he wants to do in the future. So, and of course, this applies all over the place in Scripture. The Bible tells us that God's given us his Holy Spirit. One of the main reasons he's given us the Spirit is so that we have that as a foretaste of what's going to happen. We're going to have the rapture, we're going to be blessed, and God fully intends to finish completing that salvation, applying it to the body and so forth in the future. But it's all based upon the fact that when we were saved, he gave us the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't give us the Holy Spirit just so that we would die and never be resurrected or that's it. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says he's with us forever. And that's a foretaste, that's a promise, so that we should live in hope that we're going to partake in the rapture. And so that's the way God works with. He wants us to develop a sense of valuing the past precedents so that we live in hope. We don't just live in depression because the world's getting worse and worse. He wants us to learn to live in hope. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson itself. It does not have to be.